Well, today is the first Sunday in Lent. We have observed Ash Wednesday, and now we begin our Lenten journey, which ends the day before Easter on what we call Holy Saturday. Lent does not include Easter. Easter starts a whole new season. And just like Advent, there is a period of preparation during Lent. There's a waiting period before we arrive at our final destination. And during this Lenten season, we're going to be looking at all of the lectionary readings that go with this time of year. But we'll also be looking at them through a different lens this year. We're going to be looking at the fruit of the Spirit, which we find in Galatians 22 and 23 or thereabout. But we'll also be looking at those behaviors that we like to skip over that come right before the section on the fruit of the Spirit. It's what I call rotten fruit. God will give us a time in Lent where we're called to intentionally draw closer to Him through repentance, through fasting, through prayer, through scripture reading, and all other practices which yield the fruit of the Spirit. And so I'm going to read these verses 19 to about 23 or so. And it's a long passage, but I want you to hear this because it's where we're going to be centering ourselves for the next 6 weeks. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other things like these. Let me tell you again, as I have told you before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Now, those words were given to us by our favorite apostle, whose name was Paul. And Paul was very direct. If you don't know much about Paul, you do know that much. He doesn't mince words too much. And so these are the things that will be guiding us. And I really believe that those fruits of the Spirit, it's really just one fruit, but we're going to put an S to make it easier. That those fruits of the Spirit all take care of all that other stuff. That there's a counterpart to the behaviors we don't seek that can help us to come to living by the Spirit if we will focus on God instead of on self and others. And so today we're going to begin this journey with the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. Now, you might not know it, maybe you've never noticed this, but every year the first Sunday of Lent includes the temptation of Jesus, whether we need it or not. Every single year, that's where we begin. And so we're pretty familiar with this story if we've been paying attention for the last few years or even the years before that. But here's the gist. I'm going to kind of give you the short version. So Jesus has just been baptized by John. A voice has been heard by other people that says, "This is my son with whom I am well pleased." And immediately after that, Jesus is led into the wilderness by the Spirit. Now, right away, I'm just curious about that. Why would the Spirit lead Jesus into the wilderness after something that holy and sacred? I mean, it seems like, if anything, if someone would go into the wilderness, it would be because they're lost. But Jesus goes into the wilderness by divine intervention, led by the Spirit. Now, he starts out by fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and he prays for all of that time. Does that sound familiar to y'all? Prayer, fasting, 40 days, does that ring a bell with anybody? Okay, well, don't get the idea for 1 minute that Jesus was observing Lent. The Bible doesn't even mention Lent. Jesus was observing the spiritual practices that drew him closer to God. And we, by observing Lent, try and mirror those very same practices. Now, while Jesus is there, he gets a visit from Satan. You know that fallen angel whose job description has one bullet point: pulling people away from God. That's it. That's his whole job description. One bullet point. I'd give anything for a job description that was that long. I bet all of you would too. And Satan has many, many tools in his arsenal. Temptation is just one of them. So he knows right away that Jesus is hungry. He's been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, right? So he starts there, and he looks at Jesus, and he says, if you are the Son of God, and he knew very well that Jesus was the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Now Jesus answers, oh, so patiently with Scripture. But the devil can also quote Scripture. Have you ever noticed that about him? So he makes his next move a little more challenging by asking Jesus to jump off the highest point of the temple. And he starts with that same phrase, if you are the Son of God. And Jesus, oh so patiently, answers with Scripture yet again. Now the third time, the devil tries to entice Jesus with promises of power. But this time, he doesn't even mess around with playing with Jesus, if you're the Son of God. He is serious. He means business this time. But Jesus, oh so patiently, looks at Satan and says, no thanks. And then he tells Satan to get lost, and angels come to take care of Jesus. That's really the whole story of the temptation of Jesus. A couple of things kind of stand out to me about this story. One is that Jesus remains patient the entire time. He never gets angry. He never gets offended when Satan tries to lure him away from God. He just very patiently answers with Scripture. And he never attacks Satan either. Did you notice that? He never attacks him and says, and blames him about things. He remains good and kind throughout the entire conversation. Now, when we read this passage aloud, have any of you ever read this passage aloud? We get to that last part where it says, be gone, Satan. And we say it like really mean and angry. Be gone, Satan. I don't think Jesus says it like that at all. I think we do that because we would be mad if somebody was challenging us and saying things about us, kind of like Satan is with Jesus. We're trying to be angry on Jesus' behalf, but the very fact is Jesus wasn't angry at all. I think if anything, Jesus kind of goes, be gone, Satan. You're bothering me. You're like a mosquito. The text gives us no indication that Jesus might have even for 1 second been angry or in any way unkind. It is Satan who comes into Jesus' world trying to divide. And it is Satan who lets us get away. We people get away with saying things like, well, I've always had a bad temper. I just can't help it. It's who I am. Everyone in my family has a bad temper. We don't mean anything by it. It is Satan who comes in to divide. It is Satan who brings anger into the midst of every challenging kind of situation that we find. Jesus on the other hand, shows us how to live in the Spirit, using fruit of the Spirit like patience, like goodness, like kindness. So why do we continue to engage in anger and division? Well, I guess you could say it's because we're weak. And it's just how people are, and I would say that's fair. We are weak, and it is just the way people are. But Jesus, who even the devil knows is the Son of God, shows us a better way than anger and division. The fruit of the Spirit also gives us tools in the arsenal. Tools which will catch other people off guard and will help us to walk in a different and better way than those who are walking in anger and division. I've always kind of struggled with patience myself. I don't much like having to wait, and I can't even say I started being that way, you know, when I was 30. It really started about here, probably, my impatience. And by the time I was in high school, I had to write this sentence 100 times. Patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. 100 times in high school, one of my coaches made me write that. And I don't even remember what the infraction was. I only remember the punishment. And so as I got a little older, I realized that patience actually is a virtue. And as I matured in my faith, I realized that I could pray to God for patience. And so I did. I prayed to God to please give me patience, because any of us who follow Jesus can pray for anything and it will be granted. And so God gave me so many opportunities to practice patience. Oh my goodness. God honors that prayer. And so God gave me 3 children. And God gave me a host of middle school children and their parents and administrators and all other kinds of people who gave me ample opportunities to practice patience. But here's the deal. God will help us practice patience if we ask Him to, and He will keep giving us opportunities over and over and over again. There is no such thing as failing a test with God. That would be too easy. You know, when I was in school and I failed a test, I could go, oh, well, I made an F. I guess I'll try better next time. But if I didn't, there were no consequences, and there sure wasn't a teacher saying, would you like to try that again? God lets us try over and over and over again until we finally get it, because God is faithful to us. And so I've learned some things about patience. Does that mean that I'm never impatient now? Certainly not. But I am better at it than I used to be. But that's only because I have learned to lean harder on God and to lean more frequently on God. Temptations to strike back are still there, but I have learned that patience is the better way in the midst of any kind of challenge or conflict. Now, in order to quell someone else's anger, practice patience. In order to avoid division, practice goodness. Does anyone know what's in Ephesians, the 6th chapter? I know some of y'all do. I'm going to give you a hint. It starts with armor. It ends with God. Armor of God. Good job. All right, so in Ephesians chapter 6, we have this long part about the armor of God. But here's verse 12, and I want you to hear this because it's so important to who we are as followers of Christ. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We have mistaken the enemy for our friends and our family members, when in reality it is not about them or us. It's about living in the Spirit If we can practice goodness, division won't seem like a reasonable option. If we can practice patience, anger will not seem like a reasonable option. Focusing on God helps us take the focus off of ourselves and other human beings. Satan called Jesus the Son of God. Satan knew who Jesus was. And if we're going to lean on Jesus, we have to know who he is intimately. His power is greater than any power that the world can offer. So when we get angry or when we lose our tempers, we are rarely put in a desirable position to be living by the Spirit. In fact, when we get angry and impatient, the very thing that we are trying to accomplish suddenly has no importance. The very thing we want loses its importance and takes second place when we become angry. If I'm trying to make a point, and I suddenly get mad at you for some reason, even if my anger is justified, as we like to say, suddenly I have made you the victim. When I become angry, I become the aggressor. And the whole point we were talking about gets lost in the shuffle. All we're looking at then is anger. We let other people manipulate us into acting like we don't even know who Jesus is. But followers of Jesus are gentle and kind. We're patient. We're joyful. In other words, we live by the Spirit, not by the world's standards. Now, here's the last thing that's kind of important for you to hear. It is so easy for us to claim that we live by the Spirit when everything's going really great. But followers of Jesus are brought into the light and seen for who they are when things are going bad. That's when we need to be living by the Spirit more than ever. Anyone can have a meltdown or resort to anger or division, but it takes extraordinary strength to remain patient and united in the face of much that is happening in the world around us today. I'm here to tell you that Satan has not given up. He didn't just walk away from Jesus there when they were having their little temptation narrative. He's still at it, still using the same tools. He's still trying to fulfill that job description of pulling people away from God. And our only hope of winning is to rely on the power of Jesus Christ, who shows us a better way. And so may we call on the name of Jesus Christ to show us the better way by living in the Spirit all the time, instead of by living by the standards of the world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.